بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 26th of October in the year 2020 and inshallah for the next few nights or so to go through the life of another eminent personality in the glorious deen A mighty female whose blessed name is Sayyidra Baraka Ayman radiallahu anhuma. So as always to start with her lineage and her youth. In Al-Isaba 14-291, Ibn Asakir in his Tarikh Dimishq 4-302, Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 4, page 460 of the English translation, it is related. Her name is Baraka Bint Ta'alaba, Ibn Amr, Ibn Hisn, Ibn Malik, Ibn Salama, Ibn Amr, Ibn Nu'man, radiyallahu anhu. She was a female slave owned by the mother of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So here her lineage is given. Her name is Baraka. So Baraka, the meaning of Baraka is obviously blessed. That was her name. And she was the daughter of Ta'alaba, etc., etc. But she was a female slave and she was under the charge of Amina. Sayyida Amina, the beloved mother of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, her initial master was no other than the venerable father of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For Imam Zuhri rahmatullah alayhi had said, Ayman Sayyida Baraka radiyallahu anhu was the slave girl of Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu anhu, and she hailed from Abyssinia. When Amina radiyallahu anha gave birth to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after the death of his father, Ayman radiyallahu anhuma used to nurse him till he grew up. This is recorded in Sahih Muslim number 4603 in the chapter on Jihad and Expeditions, Al-Isaba volume 8 page 212-213. So simply put, she initially was under the charge of Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the illustrious father of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when he passed away, Amina radiallahu anha, she gave birth thereafter to Rasulullah. And thereupon she went into the care of Amina radiallahu anha. She was thus one of the great ones from the blessed land of Abyssinia, the others being Sayyidina Bilal, Sayyidina Mihjan, and Sayyidina Najashi, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and all those who embraced Islam from there and then came to be with our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abyssinia is a blessed land. Famously, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told his companions to migrate to Abyssinia, where there is a just king. So many of the noble ones came from there. And some of the elite ones that we should know is obviously Sayyidina Bilal, the famous companion, Muazzin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Mihjan, who was the freed slave of Sayyidina Umar. And he was the first martyr of the Battle of Badr, radiyallahu anhu. And of course, the honorable king, Najashi, rahmatullah alayhi. But who else is amongst these illustrious souls? Sayyida Baraka Ayman radiyallahu anhu. Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he added, Udr say Baraka radiyallahu anha belonged to Sayyida Khatija's sister, i.e. Sayyida Hala radiyallahu anha, who then presented her to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is recorded by Ibn Kathir in his Seerah, volume 1, page 461 of the English translation. So there's another view that she actually was under the care of Hala, Khadija's sister, and she gave her to Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a gift upon the marriage, you know, etc., etc. The vast majority of scholars, however, favor the first view that she was initially with Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib, radiyallahu anhu. And the reason is obvious. when you go through her life. So the vast majority say she was under the care of Abdullah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father. Those Sayyida Baraka radiallahu anha's parents were from Abyssinia, Africa. She had been sold as a slave in the slave market of Makkah. As a young girl, she thus became the property of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anha. So like I mentioned many times, the slave trade was all over the world at the time. And it was in Makkah as well. So she was sold in the slave market and she came under the care of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's father, Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib radiallahu anha. Hafiz Zahabi in his seer, and also Ibn Kathir's seerah, volume 1, page 460 of the English translation, Hafiz Ibn Kathir, he said, rahmatullah alayh, she was generally known by her agnam, Sayyida Ayman radiallahu anhuma, the mother of Ayman. Her son by her first husband, Ubayd ibn Zayd al-Habashi. After him, she married Sayyidina Zayd ibn al-Haritha radiallahu anhu, to whom she bore Sayyidina Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma. She was also known as Sayyida al-Ziba, the mother of the gazelles, i.e. due to her swiftness in carrying out her various duties. So Hafiz ibn Kathir, he's given a few more details. He's saying that she is famously known by her kunyat. The kunyat is the agnam. And her agnam is Ayman. That means the mother of Ayman. And that was from her first husband, whose name is Ubayd ibn Zayd al-Habashi, also from Abyssinia, his lineage. But after her first marriage, she married again to the famous companion, Zayd ibn al-Harith, radiallahu anhu. And from that blessed union came the famous companion, Osama ibn Zayd, radiallahu anhu. But she was also given another kunyat, Sayyida al-Ghiba. And that literally translates the mother of gazelles. So it sounds like a very strange kunyat. But the reason she was given this, the scholars point out, was because she was very swift in carrying out her duties. In other words, she would do things and people would think, who's actually, you know, sorted the meal, who's sorted out the provisions for the journey? It was Ayman, radiallahu anhu. This venerable woman was also thus later honored to be one of the blessed foster mothers of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So where's the proof? In Sahih Bukhari, number 3737, Sulaiman rahmatullah alayhi said, وَقَانَتْ حَادِنَّةَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was one of the nurses of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَانَتْ حَادِنَّةَ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was one of the nurses of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's mentioned clearly in Sahih Bukhari that she was the foster mother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Zuhri added, Sayyida Ayman radiallahu anhuma sukul Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he was weaned. He later freed her and married her to Zayd ibn al-Haritha radiallahu anhu. This is in Bukhari in his Tariq and Ibn Kathir Sira, volume 1, page 461 of the English translation. Thus she became the foster mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So not only was she in the household of the parents of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she also became the second mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning she was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And later the Prophet freed her. Not only freed her, he married her to his beloved companion, Zayd ibn al-Harith, radiallahu anhu. Later when Sayyidina Abdullah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father, married Sayyida Amina radiallahu anhu, Sayyida Baraka radiallahu anhu, now became a helper for his new blessed and young wife. So she was under the charge of Abdullah radiallahu anhu. When Abdul Muttalib married his son Abdullah radiallahu anhu to Amina, she now became the helper of the new wife. I Amina radiallahu. So what happened? Hafiz Zurqani rahmatullah alayh in his Sharh al-Mawahib, volume 1, page 122. Shaykh Shibli Nu'mani in his Seerat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, volume 1, page 148 of the Old English translation. It mentions, One Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu went on a business trip to Ash-Sham, which he completed. On his return journey, he stayed in Al-Madinah, where he suddenly fell ill and thus had to prolong his stay. So stop in the report. So they were tradesmen, nothing to do in Makkah. The only way to make a living was to be a tradesman. So Abdullah was no exception. So Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he went on the famous trade journey to Syria, Sham. On his way back, look how interesting, he stops at Al-Madinah. So was that a coincidence? And when he's in Al-Madinah, he gets very ill. Sudden illness strikes him. And thus he had to stay there. His father Abdul Muttalib in Makkah was alerted. And thus he quickly sent his eldest son, Harith, to bring news about him. He says, go on quickly, find out what's happened to your brother. However, before Harith reached Al-Madinah, Sayyidina Abdullah had passed away, radiyallahu. So Abdul Muttalib, Abdullah was very dear to him. He was the one that he was going to sacrifice of the sons. He actually made that vow, because if I am blessed with 10 sons, I will sacrifice one. And it was Abdullah. So he was very dear to him. So when he heard that he fell seriously ill, now why did he fall ill? Because before our beloved messenger came to Al-Madinah, it was a cesspit. It was the most pestilential place on earth. People would just fall ill there, which is mentioned in the Sahih. So look how the irony of it. Before his son got there, he was afflicted. So he got really ill. So obviously, Abdul Muttalib wanted to see what's happened. Maybe try and save his son, take him back. But Harith, even though he tried his best to get there, sadly his brother had passed away. So where did Abdullah pass away? Al-Madinah. And his grave is still in Al-Madinah. But the authorities won't let you get to it. Right? So, just like our beloved messenger is buried there, his father is buried there. It is further related. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu, he left camels, goat, and one slave girl whose name was Baraka radiyallahu. And ultimately, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inherited these from his father. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat, volume 8, page 223. So here's the details. So obviously, as he leaves the world, he's left. But what's he left? A few camels, a goat, and what does it explicitly mention? Baraka. Ayman radiyallahu anhum. And ultimately, the Prophet inherited all this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When did Abdullah pass away? Qais ibn Makhzama rahmatullah alayhi said, the father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away when his mother was still pregnant. The father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away when his mother, Sayyida Amina radiyallahu anha, was still pregnant. This is in Hakim and his Mustadrak, Sahih, Zahabi, Sahih. So subhanAllah, think about that. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never saw his father. He was the perfect orphan. The perfect orphan, the father dies before birth. So note, he was perfect in every aspect. He was the perfect orphan. Allah Ta'ala arranged this. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His mother was in Makkah. Amina radiyallahu. So imagine the news. Your husband's passed away. Subhanallah. Here they now were back in Makkah. Sayyida Amina and Sayyida Baraka radiyallahu anhum. The woman was now widowed and she was pregnant. The teenager, her slave and companion, those cared for her and served her during her pregnancy and was present for the birth of the most illustrious child from the children of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So she had the honor of looking after Amina radiyallahu anhum. Like you say, your midwife, right? Sayyida Ayman radiyallahu anhum. And she had the honor to be present when the Prophet was born. Upon the birth of the greatest of creation, Sayyida Baraka radiyallahu anha immediately fell in love with him and thus cared for him like a second mother. Thus, for a short while, the baby, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived with his mother and servant, radiyallahu anhu, but keeping in line with the tradition at the time, he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was soon sent away to live in the desert with Sayyidah Halima, radiyallahu anhu. So what's happened? The Prophet's father has passed away. A few months later, the Prophet's born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was interesting. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was born in the year of the elephant. So when I'm giving you these details, you get this impression everything is hunky-dory, sweet as roses. No, it's not. Abraha had come that year to try and destroy the Kaaba with the elephants. This is the same year the Prophet was born. So all of this was happening in that year. Abdullah has passed away, radiyallahu anhu. Allah Ta'ala has preserved the Kaaba from Abraha. The Quraysh had subdued themselves, submitting themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's interesting? Sayyidina Zubair radiyallahu anhu and Sayyidina Hani, two cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Zubair was his poopy son, his paternal aunt son. Hani was his paternal uncle's daughter, Ali's older sister. They both related, and the hadith is in Tabarani, Bayhaqi and Hakim ibn Asakir, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born, for 10 years there was no idol worship. So why did they say that? Because of what had happened to Abraha. When they saw what Allah Ta'ala did to him, they started to worship the Kaaba, the Lord of the Kaaba. So why is that interesting? Allah Ta'ala arranged for idol worship to temporarily stop, so that his beloved messenger could enter the city in purity. Think about that, right? Though there was idols, Allah Ta'ala temporarily stopped it for his beloved. Look how beloved he is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He made that a sign of his coming, right? The year of the elephant. And then what happened after 10 years? They went back to their shirk, right? So, what do we know about this? The two famous surahs that we learn as children. In Surah Fil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you not seen how your Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the companions of the elephant? أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ قَيْدُهُمْ فِي تَدْلِيلِ. How he sent against them flocks of birds. تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلِ. And they pelted them with clay stones. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَأَصْفٍ مَعَكُولٍ. So they became like crushed crops. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the masters of the elephant? Did he not foil their stratagem? كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَدْلِيلٍ. And sent against them flocks of birds which pelted them with clay stones, so that they became like plants crushed by cattle. Who's Allah Ta'ala talking to there? The Quraysh. Did you see this? Then what does he say in the next surah? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشَّيْطَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعِ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفِ. For the protection of the Quraysh. لِإِلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِلَافِهِمْ. Their protection. رِحْلَةَ الشَّيْطَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Their protection in their summer and winter journeying, their trade caravans. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, let them worship the Lord of this house. الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Who fed them in the days of peril, and who shielded them from all perils, and gave them. So Allah Ta'ala is telling the Quraysh that I have given you protection. Why? Because after that incident, nobody dared mess with the Quraysh. So when they went on their trade journeys, bandits left them alone. Because this is the Quraysh. لِإِلَافِ Quraysh. Allah Ta'ala is telling them. Then he goes, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Then why don't you worship the Lord of this house? The one who gave you honor. Meaning you've gone back to your shirk. Well, these two surahs need to be kept in mind with this hadith of the two cousins of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what happened? He was born in that year, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in purity. And the Arabs, they have a tradition that when the child in the early years of his life, it needs to be suckled away in the pure environment of the desert. That was their tradition, so that the child would be strong, wouldn't be affected by city life. And who had the honor of taking the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It was, of course, Sayyidah Halima radiyallahu anha, Halima Sa'diyah radiyallahu anha. And again, note how Allah Ta'ala was protecting his beloved. She didn't take any money. Right? The people would come and they would find the rich ones, because yes, they'd give a good wage, they'll take their son. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was an orphan. Nobody took him. And then Halima radiyallahu anha said to her husband, "Let's take this youngster. Maybe Allah Ta'ala will bless us." And the scholars say, what an understatement, right? Let us take this youngster, maybe Allah Ta'ala will bless us. And then what happened? Right? All heaven broke loose, right? Soon as she took the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her own milk started flowing. She had her own son, and he could finally drink the milk. Then the camel that was smashed started going swift, beating everything. Then wherever they camped, there was greenery. And then the husband goes, "I think we've got a blessed child." And one report in Tabarani says even the beast of burden spoke, because this is the Messenger of Allah. Miracle occurred. So all of these things were taking place. But you read books of Seerah, they don't even talk about it. Straight to the cave. Let's go to the cave, right? Go to the cave. I mean, you miss something. Astaghfirullah. So note the tragic loss in our knowledge of the Prophet's life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sayyidah Baraka radiyallahu anha had to comply. The Prophet was taken. Though she began to miss him terribly, for she did not now see him often until he finally, which must have felt like a lifetime for her, returned to Makkah at the age of 4. So she did see him. Reports mentioned she would sometimes go with permission from Amina radiallahu anha. And other times, maybe he would come to see his mother. Halima would bring him back. Whatever the case, she still missed him. Sayyidah Baraka radiyallahu anha. And at the age of 4, he was brought back. Why was he brought back? Slightly prematurely. Because of miracles. The sister of, the foster sister of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Halima's daughter, she came rushing to her mother. She goes, "Muhammad has been killed. Muhammad has been killed." Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Halima rushes, and the Prophet sitting, and he's looking dazed. And she goes, what happened? And then either the sister or the Prophet, they both, one of them mentioned that two men came with extremely white clothes and extremely dark hair with no signs of journeying. And they grabbed me and they split open my chest. They took out my heart. They washed it with zamzam. They put it back and they conversed amongst themselves. It is him. So it was the cleansing of the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that took place. Halima then got worried. She goes, "Something's happened to the Prophet, to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I need to take him back." So when she took him back at the age of 4 or thereabouts to Amina, Amina was quite surprised. "Why have you brought my son back?" And then she said, "Do you fear for him?" He goes, "By God, nothing will happen to him." Amina goes, "Allah Ta'ala is looking after him." So Amina knew, radiyallahu anha, but she also knew that she'd seen something. So why are these reports important to highlight? Because some fruitcakes say Amina is going to hell. Right? Think about that. Right? She goes, she died in idol worship. Couldn't Allah the Almighty and Glorious have chosen a pure womb for His beloved Messenger? Everything's pure, except His mother. Think about that. Everything's pure. Everything, except the womb that bore Him. So this food cake's about that, right? And then response to that is, God help you on the day of judgment, astaghfirullah, right? So, and also what does it say in the Quran? Those who annoy the Messenger of Allah are cursed in this world and in the hereafter. And a humiliating punishment is waiting for them. How can you hurt the Prophet more than to find fault with his mother? Imagine the Prophet hears, you said his mother's going to hell. Even hypothetically, let's say you was right, why did you even say that? Even if you were right, would you ever utter that? And yet people say it. Imagine, his father's going to hell and his mother. Right? Astaghfirullah. Right? So again, note, that's why it's so important to study the early period of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life. So our beloved messenger, he's returned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Baraka radiyallahu anha thereupon now became permanently attached to the most beautiful youngster. So Noor was interested. Amina, you get this impression that Amina was on the, you know, letting Baraka do all the work. And this seems to indicate that Amina may have known she's going to pass away. You get this impression that she was making Baraka do so much khizmat, i.e. Service to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah Ta'ala knows best. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned on this opening night was the introduction to the blessed life of Sayyidina Ayman Baraka radiyallahu anhu. And notice by going through especially the foster mothers of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get to know more about the Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially his honorable parents radiyallahu anhu. Are there any questions? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحان الله وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات والعصر بالحق والعصر بالصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم